All right, well, we're recording.
Wait, one, two, three.
What was the clap for? You just felt like clapping?
That's actually how you make sure that it's synced up.
Oh, okay, wait, do I get to clap too?
Sure.
Wait, clap. Hey guys, welcome to episode 16.
Happy holidays.
16. It's like our sweet 16. Should we have a party?
I mean, you know, Christmas isn't like 2 days, so
we are
having a party.
You're right. No, we're having a New Year's party. Also, I'm going to apologize in advance because this episode is probably going to be a lot shorter than you guys are used to, only because I don't know if you guys are going to hear it, because I'm going to be probably sniffling throughout the whole thing. And if I don't have to stop to heck up a lung, it'll be a miracle. But I am super, super... Oh, yeah. We're like 90% sure I have the flu. So there's that. And we're going to New York with Tim's family this week. So that's also fun.
PSA. If you haven't got your flu shot, go get your flu shot.
I'm one of those like horrible people that never gets the flu shot, but I had such a bad reaction to it the first time I got it. I just haven't gotten it again. I have every other shot. PSA, vaccinate your fucking kids.
Vaccination is great.
Vaccinate your fucking kids. Like, if it weren't for the fact that I had such a horrible reaction to the flu shot, I probably would have been getting it. But I like broke out in hives and I was sick for like 2 weeks almost, like really sick. It was really bad. It was really bad. So that's the only vaccine I don't get ever again. But anyway, yeah, PSA, vaccinate your fucking kids. And yeah, welcome to episode 16.
Christmas.
I know.
Christmas special.
I was watching Tim Tracker today. And I hope at least one of our listeners watches Disney and watches YouTube Disney people. But I was watching Tim Tracker and he always goes like for the holidays, like Halloween is starting now. Oh yeah, so like the millisecond Disney puts out any celebration decorations, Christmas is starting now. Oh yeah. But on the up and up, him and Jen are doing really great and the baby's still fucking adorable. I can't get over how cute their baby is. His name is Jackson.
This is not a Disney podcast, by the
way. I know, but I had to talk about that face. He's so cute. But anyway, I digress. So hold on 1 second. Okay, yeah, no, it's not freaking out. This week, I am covering James Whitey Bulger.
And we got the like candlelight going on in the middle of the dark room.
Yeah.
Just for, you know, atmosphere.
Atmosphere, no, it's because I'm so sick and I have a horrible migraine and I'm so sensitive to light right now. Timmy had to like block it with like our Country Time lemonade canister from Costco. Like,
yep. So candlelight's all mine.
Yeah, I was like, babe, can we record in the dark, please? And thank you. But anyway, so James, aka Whitey Bulger, and I'm surprised Tim doesn't have a comment on his nickname.
I was going to say something, but honestly, the nickname Whitey just makes me think of like that one white nerd kid got bullied by the other white kids.
That's pretty much what it was. Like, he was pale as shit. Yeah. And he had really blonde hair. So, like, it's possible he had
albinism.
Yeah. I wanted to say alopecia, but that's the one where you lose all your hair, right? Yeah. Yeah. Because there was that one guy on American Ninja Warrior. Anyway. So, James Whitey Bulger was born September 3rd of 1929. We're going old school, y'all. But he actually died fairly recently. He died October 30th of 2018.
So he was old as shit when he died.
He was old as shit, yeah. He was a very infamous Irish-American crime boss. He was associated with the Winter Hill Gang in Boston, Massachusetts.
So he wasn't a nerd, but he was white as shit.
Yes. He was actually given the nickname Whitey because he had his really, really pale skin and really, really blonde hair. And he hated his fucking nickname, but, like, you're in the mafia, so, like...
I feel like once you get a name in the mafia, you're never getting another.
Yeah, like, I don't think you get an option, like, when they're inducting you, like, hey, yo, Sammy the Boss, I don't like my nickname. And I think Sammy's just gonna look at you like, fuck you. But anyway.
Fuck you, you stay Whitey.
Yeah, you stay Whitey. This is not a conversation we're gonna have. But anyway, so he, in June of 2013, When he was 85 years old, that was actually when he was formally convicted on dozens of counts of racketeering, including the complicity of 11 murders.
I mean, I'm not that surprised, on the only because he was part of the mafia.
Yeah, like, we already know the mob, I'm gonna say, used to run Vegas, but we all know they still run Vegas.
Point is, the mob is the mob.
Yeah.
Like,
just don't piss them off and you won't have to die.
Stereotypes come from somewhere.
Yeah, you're right. You're not wrong. Mob Wives was my shit. That was how I learned everything I needed to know about the mob. Anyway, rest in peace, Big Ange. So he's known for, first of many cough breaks, being the notorious crime boss who led the Winter Hill Gang throughout the 1970s and 80s. He was actually born in Everett, Massachusetts, and eventually moved to Boston. In his early life in Everett, he he eventually, from Everett, he moved to a housing project for low-income families in South Boston with his parents, his two sisters, and his two brothers. So there's 4, 5, 6, there's 7 of them. It's a lot of fucking kids.
There's still 5 less than my dad's family.
How many people are in your dad's family?
He was the oldest of either 8 or 9. I don't really remember.
Jesus Christ.
I think that's the number. I could also be undershooting it.
That's an aggressive amount of children to pop out of one uterus. But then again, my great-grandfather was 1 of 12.
Yes.
But that was also, you know, he was born in 1921.
And safety in numbers.
Safety in numbers, man. Anyway, so they moved to this low-income housing unit. His older brother, William, actually went on to be the president of the University of Massachusetts, as well as a member of the Massachusetts State Senate.
So these are two very different paths they took.
Yes. But also, like, maybe that's why he didn't get arrested till 85. In school, he was often cited for being restless and really argumentative with the nuns at the Catholic school he attended. Really, Nittany? Really? You had to shake right in the middle of my sentence?
Yes.
He's so rude.
Yes.
All right, bye. And he actually ended up getting kicked out of the Catholic school and put into a public school, and then he still had problems there. By the time he was 13, he had been arrested multiple times for violent crimes and even larceny and petty theft by 13.
Okay, so what was his issue?
He just likes stealing shit, I guess.
So he was a klepto?
Maybe.
Okay.
But what was really interesting, though, is that a lot of the times where he got arrested, the cases ended up getting dismissed before he served, like, serious jail time.
Who did he know at age 13?
I don't know. or he was, you know, found not guilty very conveniently. Or he won an appeal, also very conveniently. In January of 1949, so at this point he's 20 or 19 going on 20, he joined the Air Force. And he actually was with them for a long time. He was with them for 4 years. Even though he was arrested for robbery, rape, and going AWOL at one point, which is basically when you just, like, leave the military without letting anyone know.
Away without leave.
Yeah, away without leave. And grand larceny. But, like, compared to our NFL players who beat the shit out of their wives nowadays and get away with it and are still allowed to make millions off of their time throwing a football, I'm not really surprised that he got away with this. I am surprised, although, because it's the Air Force. I actually am surprised. But then again, it's the 40s. Maybe they needed people really bad. He was never, like, formally sentenced or anything. And he actually ended up getting an honorable discharge from the Air Force in August of 1952.
Because that makes sense.
I don't even question it. Sorry, my page jumped. Here we are. Then when he got out of the Air Force, he was actually, I should keep track of how many times I have to stop to cough. 2? We're at 2? Okay. When he got out of the Air Force, he was actually, you know, held for his criminal behaviors. He continued to just held. Oh my gosh, I read the wrong word. Sorry, guys. He just resumed his criminal behaviors. He was robbing freight trains and selling the contents of the trains on the street, like really obvious with it. Eventually, he connected to Carl Smith, who was an Indiana bank robber. Together, the two stole tens of thousands of dollars from banks across the United States. And think about this. This is tens of thousands of dollars in 1952.
You know.
Like, that's a lot of money.
I'm still waiting to see how he factors into the mafia.
Yeah, yeah. We're getting there. He ends up, you know, trying to... He dyes his hair to try to avoid getting recognized, but, like, it didn't work. He ends up getting arrested in a Boston nightclub for armed robbery of a bunch of the various banks who multiple people could cite him as who he was. He then...
Was he not wearing a mask?
No.
Anything?
No.
Hat? No. Glasses?
No. But it gets better. Here's where he gets stupid. He willingly names his associates, including Carl Smith, which, like, I'm just saying, if I were ever to join the mafia, I would never, ever, 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 ever in my life be a snitch. I would rot my ass in jail. Because the second you snitch, you're gonna die. I'm amazed he isn't dead. Or wasn't already dead. But then he ends up getting a really lenient sentence because he sold out Carl Smith. And then he gets sentenced to 20 years in federal penitentiary. He first served in the Atlanta penitentiary where he was subject of, he was actually a subject of the CIA's MK Ultra experiment.
The what?
The MK Ultra. Do you know anything about that?
Not from the name.
So, okay. So here's the thing. Hold on. I'm going to pause because I want to get this right. So the CIA's MK Ultra was actually, it was the code name given to a formal program of experiments on human subjects, and they were designed to be undertaken by the CIA, and basically everything they did was hella illegal. Like, they experimented in mind control. There were actually celebrities who were involved in it.
Okay.
And it's like this whole thing, and people to this day still think that there are celebrities who are controlled by MK Ultra who were set up specifically to be put in place in society to do certain things. Like, people think Taylor Swift is a part of it. People think Gaga is a part of it. Katy Perry. Because there's also...
So Scientology.
Scientology on crack, yes.
Cool.
But, like, it's a whole thing. So they think that these people were specifically placed to be, you know, where they are in life by, you know, the CIA. And they were set up to do certain things. Like, and it ends up going back to that whole... the moment when Kanye interrupted Taylor on stage, that people claim that that was actually her initiation into whatever. Yeah, it's like a whole thing. I'm going to do an episode on MK Ultra eventually, but I just needed to.
So they thought that was hazing?
Yeah. People thought it was like an initiation for the Illuminati. People thought it was initiation for MK Ultra. People thought it was an initiation for... The long story short is that the general consensus amongst the conspiracy theory subgroup is that her getting interrupted on stage the way she did was a initiation of some sort into some secret celebrity thing. And they also think that what happened with her and Kim and Kanye was like a whole other thing, like that whole, like, where she had been recorded. It's like a whole thing.
Okay.
So he was actually a subject of the CIA's MK Ultra experimentation, and then, like I said, basically the long story short was that it research methods of mind control, and he volunteered to be a part of it in exchange for a lesser prison sentence. So he actually ends up getting transferred three times before inevitably being granted parole in 1965. So he served right around 10 or 15 years, depending on how long the trial was and all that good stuff.
Okay.
So, as you were asking, oh, I'm sorry, I literally have it in my notes. I'm horrible. He served exactly 9 years. So about half of his sentence.
Okay.
Yeah. But hey, at least he served half of it. Like, he volunteered for human experimentation. I feel like that should allow you to get out early.
Should it?
You're being experimented on by the government.
Okay, but what if they end up crazier than when they went in?
I mean, you're right.
Crazier or more dangerous, because you don't have to be both.
But the thought was that they could use MK Ultra to control people who were crazy dangerous and get them to be less crazy dangerous.
Okay. But what about the experiments that don't work?
Oh, hold on. So, like you were asking the Winter Hill gang, like when did that come into play? So when he got out of prison in 65, that's when he found, you know, Boston was in the midst of this crazy gang war. He actually begins working for the Killing Brothers and then turned on the Killing Gang and began to side with the Mullen Gang. And before he finally joined the Winter Hill Gang with his close crime partner, Steve Flemmy. So he
they need better names, I swear to God.
Yeah.
You got Whitey and Flemmy.
Yeah, it was a lot. In 1971, Bulger and Flemmy were approached by an FBI agent, John Connolly, who grew up with the Bulgers and even looked up to his younger brother, Billy. That's the one that went on to be like the state senate and all that other good shit. The two gangsters actually end up becoming informants for the FBI.
What is happening?
Everything.
I don't understand.
Everything. What? Everything is happening right now.
This sounds like some over-the-top TV show at this point.
Yes. So, like I said, they became informants for the FBI. And their main objective at this point is to take down the Italian mafia, which, remember, he's part of the Irish mafia.
Yes, I do remember that. Because he's white.
With...
And by the way, when I said white, I mean like Irish people are just like translucent.
Yeah, you're not wrong. The Demogorgon used to burn super easy.
Yup.
So with the protection of the FBI, Bulger began to put out hits on a lot of his longstanding enemies. So at this point, he begins to like mislead a bunch of people and his handler by pointing to someone else as the perpetrator. So he would like lie to his FBI handler and be like, oh, like this is the guy who...
He was misleading his handler.
No, I accidentally did a thing. It's okay.
Okay.
So he starts lying to his FBI handler, and so he's putting out, like, FBI hits on people who weren't even doing what he said they were doing. It was just all of his enemies. And then at this point, Flemmy and Burglar killed Flemmy's long-term girlfriend, Deborah Davis, because apparently she found out about their relationship with the FBI and they were like, oh no, we can't have this. So they killed the fuck out of her. And even though she was officially reported missing, the FBI actually allegedly helped in covering it up and reported that she was seen alive in Texas.
You sons of bitches.
Yeah. It gets really, like, coercion-y in this one.
How is this supposed to be a short story? There's a lot happening.
This is short. I'm only at like 19 minutes.
Okay.
And I'm almost done.
Okay. There's a lot happening. And
yeah, there's just a lot happening. Connolly, who was their FBI agent that was assigned to them, consistently tipped off Bulger and Flemmy's to the FBI's investigation. And he actually ended up getting like super protective of them.
Sir.
Yeah, and a bunch of the other FBI agents and the Massachusetts State Police actually start protecting them as well. Like, they're helping them cover up murders and helping them, you know, hide bodies. It gets really, 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 yeah.
This got fucked up real fast.
Yeah. So, Bulger and Flemmy quickly become the ringleaders of Boston's organized crime unit. As they took over the leadership of the Winter Hill Gang during this period, in the 1980s, they actually became really involved in arms trafficking. So at this point, they're like sneaking guns into the country, sneaking guns illegally to people who aren't supposed to have guns, this, that, and the third. And then he became especially involved in supporting the Irish Republican Army. And he would send them, like, huge shipments of arms and ammunition.
The Irish Republican Army?
Yes.
In Ireland?
No.
So this was a, like, makeshift army in the U.S.?
It was an Irish terrorist organization.
Ah, there we go.
Yeah. Yeah, I told you there's a lot. So, you know, with all of this going on, the police are protecting him. This FBI unit is protecting him. Eventually
get your heads out of your asses.
Oh my god. obviously we have to talk about his downfall, because he has a downfall at some point, right?
Clearly, otherwise we wouldn't be talking about him.
That's true. Then again, the Zodiac. So in 1994, the DEA, or the Drug Enforcement Administration, and the Massachusetts State Police and the Boston State Police began investigating Bulger and his associates for gambling charges, but not any of his murders. At this point, Connolly, who was the FBI agent assigned to them, is retired. He ends up finding out and warns Bulger about the arrest that they're going to attempt.
Stupid bitch.
Yeah. Bulger actually flees Boston in December of 1994. Flemmy refuses to flee, and he gets imprisoned, but he cooperated with the authorities, understanding that he was protected as an FBI informant as long as he did not admit to any of the murders. So he was intelligent, basically. Hold on. Ow. Oh, that hurt. Okay, I got this. Okay. A year later, he was charged with racketeering and second degree murder, since the information he provided actually led to their decision to kill two men whom were under investigation for ties to the Winter Hill Gang. He was only given a 10-year federal sentence. However, he was also given a 40-year state sentence.
The state doing more than the federal.
Yeah. So during that period, Bulger's still at large. He's running around. He's on the run with his girlfriend, Catherine. Greek, and for 16 years he moved around the United States, Mexico, and Europe without capture.
A, how? B, you got a loyal girlfriend.
Right? But then again, she got to see the world, so, like, I'm sure she doesn't give a fuck.
Okay, but if she gets caught, she can be charged just for, like, accessory. Aiding and
abetting, yeah.
So. That's really fucking loyal.
Yeah, it is really fucking loyal. He was eventually found and captured in his Santa Monica apartment, so he got a whole lease and everything, after an intense media campaign in which he was consistently featured on programs such as America's Most Wanted.
So I want to go find that now.
His neighbors were like, no. Bulger was ultimately convicted of 31 counts of racketeering after he pled not guilty to 32. Of these counts, he was also charged for 11 out of the 19 murders that he was indicted for. And then on November 23rd of 2013, Bulger was also sentenced to 2 consecutive life sentences plus 5 more years, just in case his bitch ass lived a while. He had also been indicted in Oklahoma and Florida, but the two states have, yet to pursue a trial, which he died, but at that point. At the point of when he was convicted in 2013, they didn't pursue a trial. And they were actually, Florida and Oklahoma were pushing for the death penalty. And then when he was 85, like I mentioned before, he was actually in the United States Penitentiary in Sumterville, Florida, on October 29th of 2018. And that's when he was actually killed by multiple inmates at the penitentiary.
They said, we're not waiting for your death sentence.
Snitches get stitches is the moral of the story. You should have kept running.
Well, he should have went to hide in the mountains.
He should have went to hide in the mountains like El Chapo. El Chapo. He could learn something from El Chapo. The FBI is still looking for his ass. Good luck. So his legacy alone remains one of the most notorious Boston crime bosses, say that 5 times fast, who kept relationships with both the state police and the FBI. You know, through that, he conducted, you know, massive criminal operations for decades. And then I feel like that's also part of what allowed him to run for 16 years. But, you know, between the witness testimony and basically selling out so many of the mafia members, A, that's how his ass got killed. And B, most of the crime circles actually don't refer to him as Whitey anymore. They refer to him as King Rat.
Cause he was a snitch.
He was a snitching ass bitch. Snitch, bitch, snitching ass bitch, snitch. It's from Empire. But anyway, So that is the story of James Whitey Bulger.
There was so much that happened in like the span of like 25 minutes.
Yep. Yep.
Like so much.
Yeah, there was a lot to this one.
There was, it went from like 0 to 500 and never stopped.
I mean, yeah, that's essentially what happened. But yeah, it's like one of those crazy ones where like.
Well, since it's Christmas, get yourself situated, ma'am. 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 Your thing gonna fall off again.
No, it's not. Not if I don't touch it again. My body hurts so much. But anyway. Continue. So, since it's Christmas.
Yeah, since it's Christmas, I wanted to talk about some Christmas. Knit me. I wanted to talk about some Christmas ghoulies.
Christmas ghoulies?
Yes. The first one, I'm only going to talk about two, so it's not going to be that long. But the first one is going to be the beloved Krampus.
Krampus! I love Krampus!
You would get a Krampus on a bench if you could.
It's Krampus on a shelf. It's like something weird. It's not a bench. It's Krampus on a, I don't know. We'll figure it out. But anyway, I love Krampus. Continue. I want to hear about him.
Interesting. Okay. So, for those of you who are not familiar with Krampus, essentially, he originates from around Central Europe. So, we're talking like Austria, Germany, and Hungary. Jesus, I wanted to say Hungary.
Hungary?
I don't know what I'm saying anymore. It's okay. It's late.
It's okay.
It's not even that late. But Krampus was originally a kind of like a pagan figure that Christians tried to wipe out entirely. But then he made a really big rebound, and now a lot of people actually know about Krampus, but not too much. They just know the general idea.
He's legit as fuck, but continue.
So we're not actually sure of the exact roots, but it's generally agreed that the legend of Krampus comes from some sort of like early horned god.
Mm-hmm.
And his main night that he's supposed to come out is December 5th, which is known as, I'm going to say this wrong, Krampusnacht.
Mm.
Oh, I apologize. And the whole thing is like he comes out and he punishes or sometimes kidnaps naughty children.
I love it.
So that's the general gist of it. So we're going to talk a little bit more about him.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, if you haven't guessed already, he's kind of a horned monster is the general idea.
Yes.
And he's usually portrayed as like a hairy half goat, half demon kind of thing. Yeah, I mean, what half goat, half demon. It's not quite an animal, not really a demon.
Same thing. You're good.
So like I said, he's hairy, he's horned, and he apparently also has these wicked like claws.
So basically he's a horny hairy bastard.
Sure.
Yes.
But you know, obviously it doesn't instill a whole bunch of like warm feelings or anything, and well, it shouldn't, because Krampus is supposed to carry around like a birch rod or a switch. I'm not sure which one actually he carries around, because I saw both of them in multiple sources. But the point is, he's gonna beat you with his switch.
With his switch.
Whatcha? So his name is derived from the German word Krampen, which means claw for his hands. And he's essentially like the counterpart to Santa Claus. So Santa Claus rewards those who have made his nice list. And like he may drop some coal for naughty people, but that's not his main job in this.
I got coal once.
I know, your mom wrapped them.
Yes.
You had to open each individual coal.
Yes.
So in like this lore, Krampus is tasked with punishing those who have been bad, and he takes his job very seriously. So his punishments usually revolve around stealing children's toys, beating them with his rod, or kidnapping them, tying them in a sack, and then tossing them in a river.
Oh my god, what?
Yeah, so like, it escalates like real fast. Like, there's a big range of things he does.
That was aggressive, but okay, continue.
So, with this particular day, there's a couple of traditions that are celebrated. Some Alpine villages will have like large parties that feature a clawed incubus or demon, who likes to hang around with jolly old Saint Nick. Ooh. So you see both of them there.
That's fun.
Around like the 15th or 16th centuries, there were like masked devils that began appearing in the church plays. So like a lot of churches will have their plays. A lot of like, if you're Christian, it's usually like about
like sight and sound theater, like where they do.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Where the whole thing leading up to his birth.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But in this, you have a devil that appears.
Oh, okay.
And that devil, aside from the plays, will also just show up during like traditional winter celebrations. And like, while he's kind of like an evil figure, the events tend to have a more comedic and silly element to them to kind of add to like the Christmas fun. And then there's also, this is my favorite thing that I learned, is there is a Krampus run that will be held sometimes.
Oh my God, what?
Yep. So the men will dress up as Krampus and then run through the streets with like bundles of birch twigs to beat people.
Oh my God, that's amazing. Can we do that?
I don't know. I mean, we could try. Hold on. Apparently, it said that the one way to ward off the attention of Krampus is to offer him strong alcohol.
I support that.
So there's his German roots. And then, so like that's the ma'am.
That was moist.
Yep. So like that's most of like what Krampus is about and like the different traditions around him. So I had searched up a second character, which is said to be like the female counterpart to Krampus. When I really loved her story, it's really interesting. But her name is Frau. God, I can't say these names. Borchata? Or Borchata?
Borchata. You're right.
Borchata. Okay. And she's the Christmas witch.
Yes.
So she also originates from the pagan beliefs of Eastern Europe, which is obvious because she's counterpart of Krampus. That makes sense.
Right.
And she's said to dwell in the German and Austrian Alps. So what I found kind of interesting was like she has like two portrayals that people will pick. So either she's really young and beautiful and she's dressed in like the snowy white clothing, or she's like an old and malevolent hag with a very animalistic face and a long robe. So
okay.
I don't know, two different ones.
Those are very different, yes.
So regardless of which appearance she has like a sharp knife that she keeps hidden on her. And it's, you know, sometimes the legends claim that, this is very specific, but they claim that one of her feet is larger than the other.
Like, how much larger are we talking here?
I don't know.
Is it like
one? Just said one foot's larger than the other, and I was like, okay.
I mean, everybody's foot is like, one is naturally just like a teensy bit larger, but if it's like one's a 7 and the other's a 13, then
we I think it's probably they're leaning more towards the 7 and 13.
Oh my God. Okay, continue.
And then, if you've heard about him, like Grimm, who wrote all the fairy tales, Grimm believed that her feet, the different sizes, were symbolic of her being a shapeshifter.
Oh, what? One of her feet, it just got stuck?
I don't know. That was a weird one. I was just like, this is weird, but okay.
That's okay. I brought up NK Ultra. I can't get weirder than that.
So Borchata makes her appearance during the 12 days of Christmas, with her final appearance being on the Feast of Epiphany. And I had to search this up because I didn't really know anything about it. But the Feast of Epiphany is a Christian feast that celebrates the revelation of God incarnate as Jesus Christ, apparently.
Okay.
And so, like, the feast itself has, like, different focuses depending on whether you're, like, Western or Eastern.
Right.
Christian. So, like, Western Christianity is mainly about the visit of the Magi to the baby Jesus and Jesus's physical manifestation, so his birth.
Mm-hmm.
While Eastern Christianity celebrates, like, the baptism of Jesus in the Jordan River.
Right, right.
So, traditionally, the date for, like, the Feast of Epiphany is January 6th, although the celebration is sometimes just held on the first Sunday after January 1st. And then if you are part of a church that follows the Julian calendar, the feast is observed on the on January 19th of what would be the Georgian calendar. So,
okay.
You know, the dates are different between people.
But they probably line up eventually because, like, they're all different calendars anyway.
Yeah, eventually. So some of the, like, popular customs that are included in the Feast of Epiphany is just singing, chalking the door, having the house blessed, eating, specifically eating three kings cake.
Why three?
Well, like, the three kings who went to visit Jesus.
Oh, yeah. You're good. Go ahead.
And then, obviously, you attend church because it's a religious celebration.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's winter singing. Let's see. So, for the actual celebration of... I can't even say her name right. This is real rough.
I'm sorry.
Perchton?
You said her name about four different ways so far.
I know! It's rough. Anyway, so to celebrate, like, her kind of time, participants will wear a mask called Perchton, which, similar to her name, obviously, and then they'll dance around the fires to essentially drive away scary winter ghosts. I don't even remember writing that, but yeah.
You don't remember writing it?
I don't remember writing that particular sentence.
Oh my god.
And it used to be that you would have to finish spinning your thread or fibers before the day of Epiphany, or you would have to finish doing all your house cleaning. So, the actual legend behind this lovely lady is that if you're good, she'll give you, like, a silver coin in your shoe when she slips into your home on the night. But if you're bad, that's where it gets interesting. So if you've been bad, Birchta will... She's essentially very merciless. Like, worse than Krampus. She'll slice open children's stomachs, remove their internal organs, and then replace them with pebbles and straws.
That's rude as shit.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued to know if these children go on, like, living.
Apparently you're supposed to. I don't really know.
Okay, continue.
And then one of the legends is that she'll judge your naughtiness based on if you've spun all your wool, which is why that tradition was there, into yarn by the end of the 12th night. So if you didn't finish, like, there were tales of that she would trample over the children, or she would, like, set fire to their fibers. And depending on, you know, the severity, of course, she might just cut open your stomach and replace it all with rocks and straws.
Sounds about right.
So one of the things you might want to do is to appease her, leave a bowl of porridge out. So rather than alcohol, it's food now.
I like food.
I know you do. You also like alcohol.
Yes.
But she does more than just rate your spinning. So she's been associated with, like, the Germanic goddess of Hulda. And has also been known as, like, oh god, I hate this word, Spinstubenfrau. Or the spinning room lady.
You could have just said spinning room lady.
I had to say the actual name. Spinstubenfrau? I don't know. I apologize. And then she also has a slight resemblance to the Scandinavian goddess Frigga. Because they had a shared obsession with, like, spinning and domestic neatness.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why, like, she's kind of like a counterpart for all of these. But there's something known as the wild hunt, where it's said that she sometimes just flies throughout the night sky with an army of lost souls. And then among her army is supposed to be the souls of unbaptized children.
Oh, that's so sad.
Yeah, there's a lot happening. And supposedly if you hear the wind and the thunder through the mountains on Birchtel night? It's really the sound of her just leading the wild hunt. And then she has one other name, which is Hole? H-O-L-L-E? I don't know which one it is.
Okay.
But it's a winter goddess whose name means shining or bright. So that kind of, like, that's because there's an association with, like, the night of Epiphany. since there was the shining night when the Star of Bethlehem shone down.
Oh, that's kind of nice, though.
Yeah. I mean, it is nice, but all of these different names kind of just, like, really highlights the duality of how there's ugly and pretty Bursten.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just said the name differently again. But here we are. But those are the stories of Krampus and Frau Bursten.
Oh, my gosh. Bursten.
I can't do this. It's really hard. I don't speak German.
I mean, fair.
I tried.
We gotta hit up Christine. Christine!
Tell me how to pronounce this.
HWWD, hit us up and let us know how to pronounce this word. Anyway, so I guess that wraps episode 16 with the story of James Whitey Bulger and
Krampus and Frau Bursten.
You'll get it eventually.
I don't know.
I do this every week, but it's okay. Well, thank you guys for listening for another episode. Sorry this one's short. I'm going to go curl into a ball and die.
So I'll finish off the episode. Please remember to follow us on all the of the social medias. You'll find us at Haunted Tourism Podcast. And then if you have any fun stories, send them on over to our Gmail. Again, it's just hauntedtourismpodcast@gmail.com.
That's the one.
Yep. If you do not like to be spoopy all the time, we also have Podcast Bound, which is our
baby.
Jesus. Postcard Bound.
Okay.
Leave me alone. There's a lot of similar words. Postcard Bound, which is our travel blog. So you can learn about all things fun that we do, you know.
But in the meantime, we will talk to you guys next week and stay spooky.
Listen if you dare.
Bye.